Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS, the number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got an action-packed show for you today. Joining us in studio this hour, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, formerly of the Kansas City. How about those Chiefs? He's a free agent wide receiver, caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. He'll be joining us in studio later in this hour. Then coming up at 4:40 p.m. Eastern time today, 1:40 p.m. Pacific, we'll do a little college football fix. Former Ohio State quarterback, now at Syracuse, Kyle McCord will stop by. And then the final hour of the show, UConn Huskies fans, you don't want to miss this, at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific, star player for the UConn Huskies as they get set for the Final Four in Phoenix, Arizona in the men's tournament, looking to win back-to-back national championships. Donovan Klingon will join us. So a whole lot to do today. I got Samter and Stu rocking and rolling with me, but I got to start with the sensational night that was in the Elite Eight last evening for women's basketball. And the reason why I say it's a sensational night, it's not just isolated to one game, because I was curious with how much hype there was with the LSU-Iowa game as Caitlin Clark got her revenge, if I would then stick around afterwards for another extremely hyped matchup, an extremely intriguing matchup between Juju Watkins of USC, and then you also did have Paige Buckets, as she is called, who used to be like Caitlin Clark before the injury, and she's still so damn phenomenal going up against UConn. And I'm not going to lie, I was actually more entertained in a bizarre way by the second game than the first game. And the reason why I say that, and I know that what we saw last night between Iowa and LSU was the creme de la creme matchup of the women's tournament, but I was just as equally impressed. Like, I knew what I expected out of Iowa and LSU. You know, I didn't know who was going to win the game. I thought LSU was going to win the game. I thought they were the more well-rounded team. And to Iowa's credit, and it's the brilliance of Caitlin Clark, she made her teammates around her better last night. And I didn't know if those teammates would help her out in some capacity to win the game, and they ended up doing so. But with how much we talked about LSU and Iowa, we all knew that was the main course. But even though it followed the main course, or I guess we could just say the dessert here of what we did get to see with USC and UConn, the dessert was extremely memorable. And that was another just as equally fun game, even if it didn't have all the pomp and circumstances as the first game did. But my big takeaway outside of the Caitlin Clark factor, is that what we got to see last night shows how strong of a spot the women's game is in. Because no offense to the men in the NCAA tournament, but there has not been as much hype in the NCAA tournament for the men's throughout this entire tourney as there was from last night's event. And that's what I call it. It wasn't just a game. That was an event in Albany, New York with Iowa and LSU. That is how damn sensational of a stage that was. And it's everything that you wanted. Yeah, I could argue in the fourth quarter, I wish the game was a little bit more competitive and I wish it was a little bit more close. But they gave you three quarters of excellent basketball. And it just shows you as sports fans, doesn't matter what sex you are, it doesn't matter what color you are, it doesn't matter what religion you are, none of that stuff matters in sports. That's the neat part about sports, is that it brings and unifies so many people from so many different walks of life. And the cool part about sports, and you go into a locker room, everyone has a chance. Everyone has a chance to succeed. And we know the history, the last 2 years between Iowa and LSU. We know the theatrics and the drama and the stage that occurred a year ago in the national championship game. And then to have that follow through the next year, I know it wasn't the Final Four. I know it wasn't a championship game. But to have that stage in the Elite Eight, that not only took over women's college basketball, but that took over the sports world last night. That's how big of a deal it was. That was the lead story on every sports show throughout the country, was the results of Iowa and LSU. And it just shows you, as a sport consumer and a sport fan, and I'm not going to pretend like I religiously watch women's college basketball, but it just shows you what draws an audience. We want big stars, we want personalities, and we want greatness. And what you got to see last night with Caitlin Clark, it was like watching Tom Brady on a basketball court. It was like watching Patrick Mahomes on a basketball court. She is the female version of Steph Curry, where she makes just jaw-dropping three-pointer after three-pointer from so many different behind-the-arc lengths away. That is just flat-out ridiculous. And that initial three-point shot set the tone of the night it was going to be for Caitlin Clark. So it's one thing to bring up Steph Curry, but then some people say, Zach, why did you bring up Tom Brady? Why did you bring up Patrick Mahomes? Because those are killers. Like, when those guys step onto a football field, it doesn't matter what the score is. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. You know they're going to give it their best. You know that they're going to entertain. And you know you're going to be in for the fight of your life. And when Caitlin Clark steps on a basketball court, that's what she does. And not only that, like Brady, like Mahomes, they not only dominate and they not only take the stage and the spotlight is on them, but they also make so many other people around them better. Like, we could look at the great night that she had with the 9 three-pointers, and we could look at the 41 points, and we could be delirious over those numbers. But the 12 assists is the reason why Iowa was the better team up against LSU last night. And you see two other players for Iowa get into double digits. That was essential. That was priority number one for them to score, for them to get a victory last night. Because on LSU, you knew more than just Angel Reese. Like, you knew about Haley Van Lith. You knew about Flauge Johnson. And you knew the team and how well-rounded of a team LSU was. The question for Iowa was, would someone other than Caitlin Clark step up? And last night, that answer was yes. So to see Caitlin Clark continue is phenomenal. And I'll raise my hand. I know I'm wearing LSU purple today. May not be the best choice color, but I'll raise my hand, and I thought, because of how more well-rounded LSU was, that they were going to get the job done last night. But even though I believed LSU was going to win the game, it was a coin flip. right? We even said that this game was truly a coin flip and Iowa was the better team. But Caitlin Clark winning last night was the best thing for women's college basketball. Because the women's college basketball fan is always going to watch. But look how many more eyeballs have been brought in recently in the last 2 years. And whether you like it or not, the biggest star in that sport right now is Caitlin Clark. She is the biggest draw to the sport. And it almost would have been criminal to have her go home in the Elite Eight. And now she advances to the Final Four. She'll go up against UConn, which, by the way, Caitlin Clark is 0-2 in her career up against UConn Huskies. But there's one more Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes type of moment. And that's obviously winning a championship. But the one that I'm really going at is defeating UConn. Because UConn is 2-0 up against Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes when Caitlin Clark has been at Iowa. And not only that, Caitlin Clark wanted to go to UConn. She dreamed about going to UConn and playing for Gina Auriemma, and there was really not a lot of communication in a recruiting process. So she has a chip on her shoulder. For the entire year, it was marketed as, can Iowa get back and go up against LSU, and can they right the wrong, let's just say, get revenge from what occurred a year ago? Now that's a check. But as Kobe Bryant, the late, great Kobe Bryant would say, job's not done yet. And Caitlin Clark said that after the game as well last night. The job isn't done yet. Yes, this will be the most memorable moment. This will be the game that we will talk about the most. But you have another great matchup. Like, think about this. And it just shows where the sport is. It's not just Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. Now we get to advance to seeing Paige of UConn, Paige Buckets, go up against Caitlin Clark. And before the injury that caused Paige to miss all last season, she was the talk of women's college basketball. And now we get to see both of them go toe for toe on the biggest stage. And that's going to be fun with the spot in the national championship game on the line. And oh yeah, by the way, who could be waiting in the national championship game? Undefeated South Carolina. And that's another interesting note. You have South Carolina going up against NC State. NC State in the men's and women's Final Four. For UConn in the men's and women's Final Four, which I just found to be very unique, that you see it twice now happen in those four teams. But you look at this run that Caitlin Clark has the potential to go on. It is one of those all-time great runs. If she could cap this off and win the next two. And you could put it with runs that Brady has gone on, Steph Curry has gone on, you know, Patrick Mahomes, all the great athletes. This is right up there if she gets the job done. Because if you look at it, she has the possibility to go from taking down her rival, right, the person that we associate her the most with in competition in Angel Reese, then following it up by going up against Paige and UConn, right, a creme de la creme program, you know, a program that has meant so much to the sport. And then you could follow it up potentially going up against an undefeated South Carolina team with a legendary coach in Dawn Staley. And that's why women's college basketball is in a great spot. It's in a great spot because you're seeing continuity, you're seeing big stars, you're seeing big names, and that elicits a great response whether you have been a college basketball fan or just becoming a fan of women's college basketball. And it wasn't just last night with Iowa and LSU. It was also the game that followed it. Because if I just wanted to watch that one event, well, is the sport really in a good spot? But the fact that I wanted to stay and stayed up late last night to watch the entirety of that USC matchup up against UConn shows that there's enough interest, there's enough stars, and people are just attracted to greatness. And the fact that you have a group of women that are all similar in age, and I'm not telling you that this means I'm going to watch, you know, the WNBA for the next 10 years, but if I hear Caitlin Clark's going up against Angel Reese in the WNBA, or Caitlin Clark is going up against Paige in the WNBA, or down the road, because I know she's younger, Juju Watkins against Angel Reese or Caitlin Clark or Paige, yeah, that gives you a reason because of the past history why you would want to tune into the event and see the future of this. So this may be lightning in the bottle. or it could be the start of a significant growth of interest in women's basketball. But it's not that crazy of a formula. Be a big star. Be able to entertain. Be able to provide jaw-dropping moments and be able to dominate with excellence on a basketball court. And whether it's men's basketball, women's basketball, hockey, baseball, the NFL, the people we remember are the stars that do things that leave an everlasting kind of reminder on your brain and in your memory. And Caitlin Clark is right up there with what she's been able to do so far, where when you mention other great athletes, you remember them for multiple moments. And for Caitlin Clark, she's been having her moment the last 2 years, and it's done just wonders for the sport and for many ladies around the country. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. What was your biggest takeaway from Iowa-LSU last night? We'll take a break. When we come on back, MVS will join us in studio. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, formerly of not only the Green Bay Packers, but also the Kansas City Chiefs.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. This week's player is UConn guard Paige Beckers. Through four games of the NCAA Women's Tournament so far, Beckers has 6 blocks, 13 steals, and 36 rebounds. And we know Paige Beckers will be going up against the Iowa Hawkeyes coming up on Friday, as we do have one part of the Final Four. It will be Paige Beckers going up against Caitlin Clark. Iowa and UConn can't wait for that. We are going to be joined momentarily by Marquez Valdes-Scantling in studio, who did catch a big touchdown in the Super Bowl this past year. And we know in that Super Bowl, I really thought that sequence is what changed the game for the Kansas City Chiefs, because for the Chiefs, they were not playing great in that game. They were flat offensively. And remember, they got the fortuitous bounce on the kick return. And then right away, it was the next play. Once they got that ball back, they threw it to MVS for a touchdown. And once Kansas City got the lead in that game, I know that there was a lot of back and forth in the fourth quarter. And clearly, it did go to an overtime. And we all know the controversial decision where the San Francisco 49ers did take the ball first, and then they got a field goal. Then Mahomes gets the touchdown to Mecole Hardman to walk it off. But once the Chiefs were able to get the lead in that game, when they were pretty flat early on, I'm like, 49ers had an opportunity. The 49ers had a chance to put the nail in the coffin on Kansas City. And you remember the first time they did go up against them, they were up by 10, but they were never able to put them away. And when they were able to reclaim or get that lead, Kansas City in that Super Bowl, it just felt like, all righty, you got a brand new game. And it was a missed opportunity where for a while it was turned in the favor of the 49ers, and the 49ers looked like the more dominant team, but it wasn't reflecting on the scoreboard. And then, boom, that game became a back and forth kind of scenario. And ultimately, when you allow Kansas City to hang around and then you allow Kansas City to go back and forth, you know that they're going to deliver the last punch, and the last punch is going to be a knockout. And that's crazy. In all these Kansas City runs that we've seen them win 3 Super Bowls, you know, they were down big against the Texans. They were down big against the Buffalo Bills, Tennessee. Like, you could just go through them. Philadelphia in the Super Bowl as well, where they're down by 10. Like, you look back, they've been down by double digits three times in the Super Bowl, in all three Super Bowls, and it still has not mattered. And those games we'll look back at with the excellence of Kansas City, and we will look back at that run and we'll say how many teams and how many players could have got a ring that didn't. And you'll remember those moments. Like, you will remember Kyle Shanahan electing to throw the football with Jimmy Garoppolo and Chris Jones batting it down. And then Kyle Shanahan throwing the football, airing it out, and it was the right play call. And then Jimmy Garoppolo overthrew Emmanuel Sanders. You remember the Eagles being up by 10, and from the first half to the second half being a difference in the football team that we got to see. The choke of Bill O'Brien when he was up 20-something points. Buffalo, with 13 seconds, having that lead. And then the 49ers allowing it to happen again, where really, you look back at that Super Bowl, it did remind me a lot like the Patriots and the Rams a second go-around, where you knew the Patriots were the better team, but it wasn't reflected on the scoreboard. The difference here, though, was Brady was playing with the lead and never gave it back. In this past Super Bowl, Brock Purdy was playing with a lead, and you knew that the lead wasn't insurmountable. And that's the biggest thing with Kansas City. When you have that opportunity to take them out, when you have that opportunity to issue that kill shot, you got to slay the champion. And there are going to be so many players, just like when you look back at Tom Brady, and you see how many players were prevented from winning, or organizations that won but could have won more if it wasn't for Tom Brady, that really changed the landscape of not only NFL, but also individuals. Like, I think Philip Rivers should be a Hall of Fame quarterback. Philip Rivers lost in two playoff games that I remember up against the Patriots. Imagine if he would have won, and if he had a ring. It wouldn't even be a debate right now about Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers retired as top 10 in passing touchdowns and top 10 in passing yards. I think he was both at 6 respectively when he did retire. But everyone says, what about Philip Rivers? Didn't have a Super Bowl ring. What do people say about Peyton Manning? I know he eventually got to, but how many times earlier in his career Brady prevented Manning from having a breakout early on and winning multiple championships instead of snagging the second one at the back end of his career? Even in Aaron Rodgers. Like, when Brady went to Tampa Bay, Brady and the Bucs prevented Rodgers from getting to another Super Bowl. So you see those players and you see those teams and you see those moments and those coaches, you know, Dan Quinn and Matt Ryan. Everyone remembers them. And there will always be those coaches and those players that you remember. They were good, but we don't refer to them as all-time greats, or we look at their career differently because they weren't able to slay the dragon. They weren't able to slay the monster. And it's crazy how quickly that changes, where you go from one dynasty, from 20 years of dominance, and that great dynasty that you saw with the Patriots, and now just this unreal dynasty with the Kansas City Chiefs. And they're not going anywhere anytime soon. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is going to be joining us right now in studio. We appreciate MVS from coming on in today. Let's put him right over there, if we don't mind. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling, currently a free agent wide receiver. We all remember his big touchdown catch in the Super Bowl this past year. MVS, appreciate you coming on in. Thanks so much for the time. Let's just make sure we get his microphone potted up. But MVS, thanks so much for coming on in. How you been?
Yeah, man, for sure. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
So let me take you back to the Super Bowl first.
Yeah.
That game, it felt like that it was going the way of the 49ers. And then it changed on a special teams play. And then the next play, you caught that touchdown. Did you feel that momentum shift in the game at the time?
Yeah, I mean, the NFL is all about momentum. You know, timing is everything. The margin of, you know, winning and losing is so small. And so anything that we can do to kind of you know, turn the momentum to our side and kind of run with it, you know, we'll take advantage of it. And we did that.
How do you describe playing and being a teammate of Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best to ever do it, man. I was able to win 2 Super Bowls with him. He's a fearless leader, super competitive. You know, he's going to will his team to victory week in and week out, no matter the circumstances.
Are there similar? There's definitely similarities between Mahomes and Rodgers.
Yeah.
Are they different, though? I know they're all-time greats, but do you feel like they're different, you being a teammate of his in Green Bay with Aaron and then Kansas City, obviously?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they're both winners. They're both leaders. They're both great teammates, great friends of mine. Those are relationships that I'll have for the rest of my life, no matter where this football thing takes me. I'm grateful to have both those guys to be, you know, the first two stops of my career. You know, but the difference is, you know, there's not many. I think it's the age. You know, I think that's kind of it. You know, Pat's a little more outspoken, a little more fiery. Aaron's a little more reserved, and you know, but their play is one of a kind.
Can you pick which one is the better quarterback since you were able to play with both of them?
Nah, man, they're two different guys. But you know, their skill sets are very similar. What they do, you know, how they, you know, attack the game, their mentality. You know, I wouldn't say, you know, one's better, one's, you know, they think they're just different, but they're both great in their own ways.
Talking to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, kind enough to join us in studio. We'll get into the free agency search in just a bit. But going back to this run that Kansas City just had this past year, usually you guys don't get doubted because you guys have been the team to beat for a while now. But this year, it seemed like there were moments in the season where the offense wasn't always as dominant. We know the defense was showing up, and even Pat talked about learning how to be more of a game manager this year. Was there ever doubt, though, in that locker room? Like after the Raiders game where you guys lost, was there ever a moment where this team seriously doubted themselves?
Nah, not ever internally. You know, we just had to figure out a couple of things, you know, internally to kind of get us to where we wanted to be. And, you know, once we did that, we started clicking. I think that's kind of where, you know, our season started to kind of change and things started to work. Obviously, you come off a Super Bowl win and your season's longer than everybody else's the year before. And, you know, everybody's giving you their best shot. You know, so we were able to come in and just kind of weather that storm and, you know, went back to back.
As a player in Kansas City, as you talked about, you know what the standard is. It's Super Bowl or bust every year. As long as 15 is on that field with Andy Reid on the sidelines, everyone expects a Super Bowl every year. Is it tough at times to get up for the regular season knowing that nationally the Chiefs season doesn't really start until the postseason?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think it's one of those things where you never take this game for granted because you never know when your last game is going to be. So, you know, having the opportunity to go out there, you thank God every day to be able to go out there and play those games. You know, you're only guaranteed 17 games, you know, and you're not guaranteed a postseason. And so just being able to go out there and, you know, play each game like it could be your last game. You know, you never take those moments for granted, never take those games for granted.
What has Andy Reid meant to your career, just wondering?
Coach Reid's, he's like a – like a granddad, man. He's like one of those guys you never want to disappoint. You know, he doesn't say much, but he cares more about you than, you know, any other person in that building. You know, as a person, as a player, he wants you to succeed, you know, on and off the field. He's super supportive. You know, he'll invite you over to his house for, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, Christmas if you don't have a place to go. Like, he's one of those coaches where he genuinely cares about the player, you know, on and off the field. He's just been able to kind of, you know, just be one of the greatest coaches to ever play this game. And I'm honored to, you know, be a part of his team.
Now, when I think of Andy Reid, I think of two things. I think of football, obviously, and then I think of food. And we all know he loves when you guys get him the burgers for gifts. But you playing and living in Kansas City the last 2 years, what was your favorite barbecue spot? Just wondering.
I don't know, man. Kind of tried them all. I don't think I had one that was just like,
Jack Stacks was my favorite.
Jack Stacks was cool. I had that like when I first moved out there. You know, I lived up in Liberty, so it was kind of a bit of a bit out the ways from all the, you know, the main barbecue places downtown.
How about the atmosphere in Kansas City, right? You have a legendary franchise, Arrowhead Stadium, and then you've also played in Green Bay.
Yep.
And we all know the legendary franchise of the Packers. How about playing for those two fan bases?
Man, I think I got spoiled, you know, coming out of college. You know, when I was getting drafted, I was like, man, I don't want to go play anywhere cold. And then I got the coldest place, you know, so God will humble you sometimes, you know, but just started my career there. You know, one of those legendary franchises that's, you know, one of the oldest to ever, you know, be a part of this National Football League, you know, historic that I was able to be a part of that and won a lot of games there. Had a lot of great teammates, learned a lot of stuff to grow as a man. And then going to play in Kansas City for my next 2 years and went to Super Bowls. Part of another historic franchise. So, you know, I'm just honored and privileged to be able to, you know, say those are my two homes for the last 6 years.
Now, you play in your college ball at USF, now going up against the Dolphins in that playoff game. How cold was it? Like, we read all the reports of the aftermath, but how cold was it that
Yeah, time? I mean, it didn't matter where you played football at. It didn't matter where you lived. You could have lived in Antarctica, and that still would have been cold to play in, man. Being out there for, you know, 4 hours and, you know, negative whatever temperature it was, and you know, helmets were breaking, you know, chin straps were broken because it was just, that's how cold it was. The ground was frozen. There's literally nothing you can do to keep warm. But you know, we had a little bit of an advantage because I think it was like 80 degrees in Miami when they had to fly up there and play in that. So you're talking about 100 degree temperature change. You know, that's huge.
You know the business of the NFL. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is here with us. You catch a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and then shortly after that, Kansas City moves on from you, and they release mm-hmm. you. Just how'd you kind of process that news when it happened back in February?
It's part of the game, man. You know, you want to finish your career out wherever you can, but you know, you're not going to stay on the same team forever. There's only a select few guys that can do that, and I was fortunate enough to, you know, take my next step and from Green Bay to Kansas City, went to Super Bowls, signed my second contract, and be able to, you know, be a part of a great team that, you know, won 2 Super Bowls and, you know, 3 in the last 5 years, to be a part of a dynasty. And, you know, I'm just grateful for that opportunity.
For the next chapter, like let's say I'm an NFL GM and I hit you up. I go, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, why should I take a chance on you? What can you still bring to a team? What do you say?
Man, turn the tape on. It's all there.
That just simple as that?
It's all there.
Okay. Yeah. Now, has it been busy? Like, do you expect to sign something soon?
Yeah, man. It's, you know, I could have signed, you know, yesterday. I could have signed 2 weeks ago. But it's all about the right opportunity. You know, obviously, I've been in this league, you know, for some time. And, you know, it's not always about jumping out of there and, you know, and doing it, you know, right then and there. It's about taking your time and figuring out what's going to be the best situation for you, the best fit for you. You know, obviously, you want to go to a team that's still competitive because, obviously, you know, I've been a part of 2 great teams my last 6 years, and you know, 2 Super Bowls and NFC championships, and you know, so I've done all that. I've been to the playoffs every year that I've played in this league, so you know, I still want to go and compete at a high level, and you know, obviously taking care of myself and my family and you know, my future. So those are the things that are important to me right now.
This could be a bizarre question because I know they just got rid of you and they released you, but with the Rasee Rice situation that's going on right now, and we don't know what his status is going to be, if Kansas City called you back up, would you be interested in a return?
You know, that's a question for me and my agent to talk about. But, you know, she's going to be fine and, you know, praying for, you know, all the people who were infected in that car accident.
Wrapping up with Marquez Valdes-Scantling, kind enough to join us in studio. Let me just get back to Aaron Rodgers. Have the Jets at all been interested, just wondering?
I mean, me and Aaron have talked, you know, but like I said, it's a conversation for me and my agent to kind of talk about. You know, I don't really want to talk about free agency stuff right now. I'll let that handle itself. Right now, I'm, you know, looking forward to, you know, whatever that looks like.
How about wide receivers right now in the NFL? Like, when you got into the league, who were some of the wide receivers that you looked up to? And now who are some of the wide receivers that are younger that you say, okay, they're really impressive?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, Larry Fitzgerald was always my favorite wide receiver. That's why I wore number 11. You know, obviously, Julio Jones, looked up to him, you know, similar body type, you know, runs fast, you know, kind of do some of the same things that I try to emulate when I was coming into the league. So, you know, those are the two guys that I really, you know, admired and looked up to. And then obviously playing in Green Bay, I got to watch Devontae Adams play, you know, day in and day out. And, you know, I still think he's the best receiver in the league. And so just watching those guys and learning from those guys has been, you know, something I've always enjoyed and took so many notes from, and just watch how they moved and watch what they did. But there's a lot of young guys, man, that are playing well. And, you know, I'm excited to see kind of what the future of the NFL looks like at wideout.
You know, it's a business, obviously, but to still see Devontae Adams, I know it's been a few years, in a Raiders uniform, is that bizarre since you guys were together in Green Bay?
Nah, because I was in a Chiefs uniform. I got to play him twice a year, you know, and he's still one of my closest friends that, you know, I've made through the NFL. We still talk regularly, you know, literally all the time. Check in with him, you know, checks in on me. You know, we talk about football, talk about life, still send each other memes on Instagram, you know. And so, like I said, that's one of my boys, for real. So, you know.
So many people pretend to know Aaron Rodgers, and there's a perception that's painted of him. Yeah. Since you were a teammate of him, of his, and you got to know him when you were a little bit younger, entering the league as he was so established, just what kind of teammate is Aaron?
Man, he's one of the greatest teammates you'll ever find. He cares more about his teammates than about the game of football. You know, I think that's something that people don't really understand, because they get this perception of him that he's, you know, this whatever, this, you know, diva, or that he's all about himself, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. Aaron has taught me so much stuff, you know, on the field and off the field. He's, you know, a big advocate of just, you know, your mental health and how you approach, you know, life, not even just football, and, you know, the things that he's gone through, you know, over the years. He shares that and kind of just lets you know, like, hey, I'm human too. You know, I may throw this football really, really well, but I'm human too. And, you know, I have bad days, I have good days. And just for him to, you know, be able to open that up and be a great friend to me, not even just a teammate, but a great friend to me, I'm forever indebted to him. You know, he's one of the guys that would text me, you know, say, hey, I'm proud of you. You know, even if it's, you know, completely random, you know, just, you know, hey, I'm reaching out to you, love you, bro. Like, those are things, you know, like I said, I haven't been his teammate in, you know, 2-3 years now. And, you know, we still have that same relationship.
The last thing I want to ask you, and I want to get an offensive player's perspective on this, because we've seen it go both ways. They've been the hip drop tackle. Mm-hmm. How'd you kind of react to that one?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Good luck to the defense, man. It's already hard enough to stop what we do offensively. You know, so telling them how they got to tackle, you know, it's good luck. Good luck.
So it seems like you kind of see the other side of it, like, yeah, the defensive, I mean, player side, where it's like, okay, how do you tackle
someone?
Yeah,
I mean, I can only imagine trying to tackle Travis Kelce. You know, he's 260-something pounds running away from you, and all you got is, you know, right behind him. And what are you going to do? Like, jump on his back? Like, you know, get horse collared? And so there's just so many, you know, variables that comes to, you know, these guys making these adjustments for the defensive players, trying to bring down, you know, guys that are, you know, that big, and they have no idea what to do when they have to actually tackle them.
Last thing for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, since you brought up Travis Kelce. You guys always had a lot of attention in Kansas City. This year, though, it got turned up a little bit with Travis and Taylor dating. Just what was all that extra attention like? And, like, at the Super Bowl, I felt like every question was about Taylor Swift on that opening night.
I mean, it wasn't really for us. I mean, we just treated it like another player and their girlfriend. Like, it wasn't a distraction indoors. You know, obviously, that's his personal life, and what he did outside of it, it was all on him. But in the building, it didn't bother us. You know, like, to the TV, you know, it may seem like it, but when we were at our football game, we had a game to play. So we weren't looking up in the press box to try to find Taylor. You know, she's a great person and super supportive, you know, and supports Travis, you know, every time she could, you know, and that was dope to see. But we treated her just like every other, you know, girlfriend or wife, a part of the team. You know, I think that was, you know, cool for her to be a part of that as well, so she can, you know, feel human as well, because she's the biggest in the world. And so being able to come in and be around the players and interact with us like normal humans, I think that was cool for her too.
Well, good luck in whatever's next and where you wind up for this upcoming football season. Appreciate you coming on in today.
Yeah, man. Thanks. No problem.
There he is, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show. We'll take a timeout, and when we return, we'll do a little news brief. Or actually, we'll talk about Raheem Morris and the impact that he could have on the Falcons in year one. Update time first, so let's get to the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Appreciate MVS for joining us in studio. You know, I think he's in an interesting spot. Like, he's a solid player, but to me, it's so interesting the way that he said he could have signed, like, weeks ago if he really wanted to. But then you also got to think, because everyone looks at something, like, differently and the free agency differently. Like, remember DeAndre Hopkins last year? He made it seem as if winning was the number one priority. And in reality, it was where could he go to be a number one wide receiver and also get the most money, which I will never fault a player for that. Like, you only have so many limited snaps in the NFL. If you want to go get the biggest bag possible, then go do that. But everyone says it's all about winning. Now, I don't know what the interest has been really for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, but Stu, when you're in a spot where you go from Aaron Rodgers, where, yes, you didn't win a Super Bowl, but you always go in deep in the playoffs, and then you get into this Kansas City culture where you win two Super Bowls in back-to-back season, when you factor that in, great quarterback, playoff environment, Super Bowl environment, that's got to be tough to just say, like, I don't know, the Patriots call you. You know, the Patriots of 2024. Or, you know, another lower-level team like Arizona calls you. Where, like, MVS, as crazy as it seems, could be the best receiving option until the draft in Arizona, and would be the best receiving option right now, you know, him or Kendrick Bourne in New England. So your targets would go up. But then it's like, okay, do you believe in the quarterback throwing the football? And that's got to be tough when you're used to being in the, let's just call it the penthouse of quarterbacks. And even though the Packers didn't get to another Super Bowl with Rodgers being their quarterback, but they were always in the mix. And then you have Mahomes, who's been, right, the standard for the last few years. It's got to be tough to just sign with any team and any quarterback.
It's got to be. And I think he kind of alluded to that he's been waiting. I kind of think maybe that's why he's waiting. Like maybe some of the teams that have, again, I'm just speculating here, but maybe some of the teams that have reached out to him are teams that are, you know, they're not Mahomes or Rodgers. They might be more rebuild teams, and maybe he's just waiting for a call from a playoff team or a team with a really good quarterback to try to land there.
And at this stage of the game, with how late we are already in the free agency cycle, you're not going to be getting mega money right now. So maybe you wait until someone goes down with an injury, and then it increases that need where, okay, you'll still make your money then, but you get to kind of conserve your energy and also the wear and tear on your body for a little bit and not go through some of this monotonous off-season training, and then you swoop in either later in the summer or maybe even a few weeks into the football season. I don't know if it will go that far where you wait 5-6 weeks in until a wide receiver goes down, but it wouldn't shock me in this situation. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, by the way, I want to play you this audio. This is from the Honey Badger in Tyrann Mathieu. And he was talking about Bijan Robinson. And we know last year Bijan Robinson got screwed by the coaching staff and Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith is what was the biggest detriment to the Falcons last year, because it was obvious to anyone that you did not need to try to make Desmond Ridder your franchise quarterback. He needed to be your franchise game manager. That's what he needed to be. And they took away so many reps from Bijan and from Tyler Allgeier trying to prove the point with Desmond Ridder. And it cost Arthur Smith his job, because I don't think anyone went into last season saying Arthur Smith was on the hot seat. And he ended up getting fired because that was a team that was good enough to win a dreadful NFC South, and they didn't because of a backwards approach. So here's the Honey Badger on the future of Bijan Robinson.
Man, he's going to be special. Marshall Faulk, you know, Edgerrin James, you know what I mean?
Like
LaDainian Tomlinson, you know? And I didn't think the Falcons really used him as good as they should have last year, but man, he's going to be good.
Yeah.
He's going to be real good. Yeah.
And that's not foreign for a player on a rival team to give now someone a compliment. Like if this was the 1980s, it may be a little bit different, but Tyrann Mathieu has played for the Saints the last few seasons. So that to me is even more of an indictment on Arthur Smith, because the Honey Badger basically said that dude's going to be an all-time great. And I remember when we got a chance to talk to Bijan at the Super Bowl, and I said to him, because you guys know my interview style, I'm not afraid to ask uncomfortable questions, and I ask questions that listeners want to hear. And I even said it right to Bijan's face. I'm like, they didn't use you properly last year. And it was mystifying to me. And even Bijan was saying they had a plan where they wanted to make sure they wouldn't exert everything I had in year one or things like that. And I cut him short. I said, that plan doesn't make sense. Because everyone talks about the running backs as not having this large and long shelf life in the NFL. So why wouldn't they try to use the most out of you, especially earlier in your career? And he even said, I agreed. Like, I was ready to go. You know, he's NFL ready. So I look at the Falcons this year. I was down on the Raheem Morris hire at first because of the process. Because I thought people in that building went to Arthur Blank and said, don't hire Bill Belichick, because they were afraid they were going to lose their job. But now, after having it kind of marinate for the last few weeks, Raheem Morris will do a good job in the defense. They're bringing Zach Robinson on the offensive side of the ball as the OC. I just can't see this staff repeating the same mistakes that the old regime did. It would be the definition of insanity to do the same thing over and over again and expect something's going to be different. So this staff knows that, yes, you have Kirk Cousins, who's going to improve that team, but still, you got to run the ball with Bijan a lot. And I do believe Kirk Cousins will be in the comeback player of the year conversation. I do believe Raheem Morris will be in the coach of the year conversation, because I do have the Falcons winning the NFC South. I don't think either are probably going to win the award, but I could see Bijan Robinson being the offensive player of the year this upcoming season. Catching the ball out of the backfield, and we'll know what he'll do in between the tackles and outside the tackles as well, running the football. He was fine last year. He was good last year, but he could be even better. They just didn't give him enough of an opportunity last year, which is still mind-boggling and an indictment of Arthur Smith. And that's the reason Arthur Smith got fired.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.